Turn with me tonight, if you would, to the book of Isaiah. Look at our study here tonight in the book of Isaiah. We're getting close to getting down to the end of the book of Isaiah. And so tonight we're going to look at chapter number 55, chapter 55 of the book of Isaiah tonight. You pray for me as I try to share with you the scripture and what the Lord has for us tonight. And again, I do appreciate each one of you being in the house of the Lord tonight. Thank you for your faithfulness, and thank you for being in your place. And I do appreciate that. As your pastor, I'll say I do appreciate that. And always glad that God's people's at the house of God, amen. And then we get to look at this precious Word of God tonight and see what God has for us. Isaiah chapter number 55. And as we look at this, this is more of a sermon than it is prophecy. But we're still going to look at it and see what the Lord has for us. Of course, we understand as we read through the book of Isaiah, we do know that God is speaking to the children of Israel primarily through a lot of the passages that we've talked about, preached on, but we can apply a lot of this to ourselves, amen, to the New Testament church. It's a picture and a type of the New Testament church as God's speaking to them, and so we'll see what the Lord has for us tonight. Isaiah chapter number 55, verse number 1, the Bible says, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, cometh ye to the waters. He that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Come ye, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good. Let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Hold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near." That's a good verse of scripture to memorize. Good verse of scripture to underline in the Bible. Amen. "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found, and call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him. And go to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord." There's another very good verse quoted many times. Need to underline that, mark that in your Bibles. The Lord is saying, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, and neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord." I used that verse just today, I believe it was this morning, when I was talking about how the bank had turned us down for the building of the church. And God's ways are not our ways, amen? And so I'm just looking forward to what he's going to do. As verse number 9, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I send it. For you shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up a fir tree, and instead of a briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. That's reading the entire chapter, Isaiah chapter 55, verse 1 through 13. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege you've given us once again tonight, Lord, to be in your house. Thank you for the blessings, Lord, of this day. Father, you certainly have been good to each one of us. You blessed in the morning service, met with us, Father, today. We thank you so much for that. Lord, I pray you'd meet with us one more time tonight. Bless the preaching of your word. Use me, Father, I pray. Illuminate my mind, guard my lips, Lord, tonight as we study the precious word of God in the book of Isaiah and what the prophet has to say, and Lord, what most of you have to say to us tonight through this precious word of God. I pray, Lord, that you'd charge us, challenge us, Father, tonight. Help us, Lord, to glean from Scripture. And I pray, Lord, that we can leave this place tonight saying it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. And I pray that you bless each and every one that's here. Touch their hearts, Lord, I pray. Encourage them, Father, and help them, Father, to walk closer to you. Father, I thank you and I'll praise you for what you do. In Jesus' loving name I pray. Amen and amen. I begin reading in the book of Isaiah chapter 55, verse number 1. We look and see an invitation is extended there to all who are spiritually thirsty and hungry. Everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. There's an invitation that is given there to those that are hungry, spiritually thirsty and hungry. The analogy is, of course, of the physical thirst and hunger. The application clearly is a spiritual application of spiritual truth. The waters undoubtedly are the water of life. None other than, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. And I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. Revelation chapter 21, verse number 6. John chapter 7, verse 38, Jesus also said, He that believeth on me, as the Scripture had said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Again, in John chapter 4, verse 14, Jesus said, But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. Amen. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Also, he said, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. What is more precious in this passage of Scripture, not only just an invitation to come, but what is so precious is it's free. Amen. Ain't going to cost you a dime. It look what the Bible says, come ye that thirst, come ye to the waters, he that hath no money. Aren't you glad that salvation didn't cost us anything? Amen. I'm glad that Jesus paid the way for us. Hallelujah. And we can freely come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's precious the fact that we can have the living water and the bread of life that's free. Amen. It's without money and it's without price because Jesus purchased it with his precious blood. Amen. Verse number 2, the Bible says, Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? And the question is given, Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. God, through the prophet Isaiah, listen, asked why they spent their hard-earned money on things that didn't satisfy. Boy, ain't that a question asked today? Amen? Ask the question, why do you spend your money on things that do not satisfy? Why do you go to all that trouble to do that for those things that do not satisfy? It's hard to come by, amen, and waste it on things that don't satisfy you. God invited his people to hearken diligently unto him, and they would find nourishment for their soul, which would be completely satisfying. Amen. I'm glad to know tonight, and I know this for a fact because I've experienced it, that Jesus Christ satisfies. Amen. He satisfies everything that we need. He's all that we need. If we have Jesus Christ, we have need of nothing else. Amen. He satisfies. And he asks the questions, why do you spend your money on things that do not satisfy? Why don't you come to the Lord? Amen. Come to God and let your soul be nourished so it would be completely satisfied. The mention of fatness in this verse refers to richness of food or the finest available. Whenever we're talking about coming to the Lord, hey, listen, there's none other. Amen. There's none other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. When it comes to satisfying, there's none other that can satisfy like the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And we know that. We've experienced that. We know that. But I'm glad to know whenever we read these verses of Scripture and it speaks of the fatness there in verse number 2. Verse number 2, let your soul delight itself in fatness. Now, that's talking about the richness of food and the greatness, the finest there is available. Coming to the Lord, He's all you need. Amen. That's the invitation that is given. You'll find nothing that satisfies like Jesus Christ. Amen. You'll find nothing that has the power that Jesus Christ has. There's only one that can save, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. This has been fulfilled now. This desire for hungry and thirsty has been fulfilled in Christ. For in Him, there is water and bread of life. The food which he gives nourishes the soul and leaves complete satisfaction. This nourishment which our Lord offers, of course, is freely given to every man, woman, boy, and girl that will come and accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. So it doesn't cost anything. Doesn't cost us anything. It costs Jesus Christ his very life. Amen. He gave everything that he had. He gave his very life so that it wouldn't cost us anything. So the invitation here is given, and this is primarily application, the application here is primarily to Israel, that Israel will come to the Lord Jesus Christ. You can see this also in prophecy and see it into the future after the millennial reign of Christ, that there's an invitation for them to come. I believe this could also be a message preached by the 144,000 that's going to go out through all the world and preached in the millennial reign of Christ. They're going to be preaching this very invitation. Why do you spend your money on things that has no value, it does not satisfy? Come to Christ. Amen. If you're hungry, if you're thirsty, come to Christ. That's primarily going to be their message that they preach. And so we see this invitation is given to all of Israel. The invitation to come and hear the word of God is extended once again. It is it's a promise for eternal life for the soul. In this specific context, God promised that he would make a covenant with them, even the sure mercies of David. Look with me, verse number 3. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. What is he talking about there? Well, let me help you understand there. What he's talking about, the mercies of David refers to the covenant which God made with David. The Davidic covenant, amen? God made a covenant with David and made promises to David, and God kept that promise that he made to David and those promises that he's made to Abraham and to others throughout the scripture. But he says, for the sure mercies of David, the promise I made to him and the covenant, I'll do the very same to you. I'll keep those promises that I make. The day will come for Israel in which God will make or reconfirm a covenant with them. And it will be based on the sure mercy that he had promised to David. So what a blessing that is to the children of Israel, amen? They've got something to look forward to in prophecy, of course, there. Verse number 4, the Bible says, behold, I have given him a witness to be to the people, a leader, a commander to the people. Verse number 4. God had gave David to be their king. He had been a wonderful witness to the things of God and to God's people. He had been their leader and been their commander. And in like fashion, there's a new king going to come on scene. Amen. His name's Jesus Christ. And he's going to come on the scene. Amen. He's going to rule over all of Israel. Listen, they're going to have a new king. He's going to rule, and his name's Jesus Christ. And that's, of course, prophecy there. We see that. We understand that Jesus Christ will reign for 1,000 years in the millennium. Amen. And that's the prophecy that we see here, that God's commanding and promising that this is what's going to take place. Verse 5 of chapter 55, the Bible here says, behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Speaking of Israel, the fulfillment of this prophecy is already springing forth. People around the world, the Gentiles around the world, have an interest in Israel. Now, there's a thing about Israel. You talk about going against Israel, you pick up some people's attention, amen? You'll hit a nerve when you go to talking about Israel, because people around the world are for Israel. And that's the reason for that. God's made a promise to his children and a promise to Israel. It's going to be a nation. In our day, it's a nation that's spread abroad. I mean, they're all over the world. But you mention Israel, you start attacking Israel, people get upset. Amen. People start fighting back for Israel. God's going to, listen, in that day, he's going to pull nations together and they're going to support Israel, and Israel itself will become the great nation of that day. We won't be here, amen. We'll be raptured out in the church. The church will be raptured out. But during the millennial reign of Christ, Israel will be the great nation. Look on your map, see how small a place Israel is. But the great God of heaven is going to pull all of his people back together. That's going to be the great nation of our day. Little as much when God is in it, amen. That'll make you shout a little while right there if you get to thinking about that. But we see that the fulfillment is already springing forward. Gentile people around the world in Christ have a a like mind is for Israel. However, the ultimate fulfillment of this would be in the millennium. In that day, all Gentile nations would call Israel blessed. Israel will be a blessed nation. In that day, all nations will run to Israel as the queen nation of the earth. The reason will be that the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, will glorify Israel in that day. Amen. Well, what a blessing that is for the children of God and for God's people there, Israel. Verse number 6, the Bible says, a very good verse of scripture to memorize, to mark in your Bible, to underline. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. The invitation is issued to seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. The direct message in this passage of scripture is to Israel during the day of the Lord. Amen. While he's there, while he's reigning, seek the Lord. Amen. Accept him as Lord and Savior and seek him while he may be found. But one thing that would benefit all of mankind tonight is that they would seek the Lord. Amen. One of the biggest benefits of mankind tonight, if they would seek the Lord, turn from their wicked ways, amen, and seek his face. Mankind is seeking everything but God. They're looking for everything they can find, but they're not looking for God, amen. Our nation tonight would be a great nation if our nation of America would seek God, but man's not seeking God. Man's evil. The heart of man is wicked and desperately wicked, the Bible says, and the man's heart tonight is evil. And in our nation, we have a lot of evil, we have a lot of ungodliness, and nobody seems to be seeking the Lord in our nation. I know our president had a picture on Facebook. I didn't get to listen to it. There's a little video there. He was holding up a Bible. I don't know if it's a King James Bible or not, but listen, I know that he held it up and says America's going to get back to believing or believing the Bible, standing on the Bible, and that's all well and good. Amen. That's wonderful if he means it. Amen. My Bible tells me man's not seeking God. Man's not searching for God. Man's not seeking for God. But yet I'm not saying our president can't do that. And if he were to do that, our nation would be a great nation. Once again, it won't be as great as Israel's going to be. Amen. But we'd have a great nation because we'd be seeking God. The problem we have is mankind is seeking everything but God. In fact, they think it's a strange thing for somebody to want to seek the Lord. They think it's a strange thing. Why would you want to do that? People even think us strange. Listen, because we go to church on Sunday. There's some tonight even think we're strange because we come back tonight. We had a good service this morning, a great time in the Lord. Amen. I enjoyed myself. I enjoyed preaching. I enjoyed the singing. I enjoyed everything that happened here this morning. Hey, but that wasn't enough. Amen. I want to come back. I want to get a little bit more. Amen. I need it because I've got to go out and work for 4 days and I need some encouragement. I need to hear from heaven and I need the Lord. Amen. And so some people think it a little strange whenever we come back to church on Sunday night, and especially on Thursday night, midweek service. Can't believe y'all have a midweek service. Well, yeah, we sure do. Further east you go, you'll find they don't have a Sunday night. They don't have a midweek service and call themselves Independent Baptists. Yeah. Listen, I don't want to get into all that. I don't want to meddle in that. But people just think it's people are not seeking God. And the scripture says, seek the Lord while he may be found. The door is open right now to the Gentile nation, to the Gentile dogs. The door is open to provoke Israel to jealousy. That's why the door is open right now in the church age for us, the church age people, to accept the Lord. Better seek him while he may be found. Amen. Whenever the door is shut and the rapture takes place and the church has gone home, the Gentile nation that's had the opportunity will not have that opportunity again. There's no such thing as second chances, as the TV premiere shows, second chances. There's no such thing. You reject the Lord Jesus Christ now, and whenever he comes and you see that what the preacher said was true, what the Christian says was true, what the Word of God says was true, and you've rejected all that, it's too late, honey. Church is gone. The timeline's changed. It's now time for Israel to play ball. The Gentiles are gone. Amen. The church age is gone. Now there'll be Gentile nations during the millennium that'll be saved, but that's a whole nother time frame. Amen. This is our time. This is the day that God's give us. This is the church age. This is not the age of grace. This is the church age. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Amen. Y'all read that in the Bible? Grace started when God created man. Amen. And listen, whenever Adam sinned in the garden, grace was found there. Amen. And God gave grace to Adam and Eve and gave them some clothes instead of punishing them and killing them, which he could have done. But there was grace there. This is not a grace age. This is the church age. Amen. And so the door is open to the church age for us to seek the Lord while he may be found. Not a lot of people seeking the Lord. The exhortation here in this passage of Scripture is to use our spiritual opportunities well. Every opportunity we have spiritually, we're to use it well. I appreciate the visitors that was here this morning. I appreciate those who invited those visitors. And I know all of us is working and all of us is trying to get people to come, and they just won't come because people are not seeking God. Amen. They're not seeking Him. They don't want to have anything to do with Him. But we got to keep doing our part. Amen. And keep inviting, and maybe somebody will come someday. Amen. And I appreciate those that continue to do that. It gets discouraging, but don't neglect our spiritual opportunities. Every time we have an opportunity to witness to somebody, invite them to the house of God, use that opportunity, because the Lord Jesus Christ, one day it's going to come and that door's going to be closed and no longer will they have an opportunity. Amen? Or neither will we. So use those spiritual opportunities and use them well. If we neglect to use those opportunities, they'll become missed opportunities. Verse number 7, the Bible says, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. In verse number 7, the Bible says, let the wicked forsake his way. Ungodly men, Gentiles now and Jews then, are called to repentance. Wicked and unrighteous men have a standing invitation to return to God. It's an open door of opportunity, amen. All they got to do is just come to God. Come to Him in prayer, repentance, repent of their sin, and ask God to forgive them. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a wide open opportunity. That's all they have to do. It's a standing invitation to return to God. The conduct of the wicked is evil and needs to be forsaken. In our day, men are busy trying to cleverly exempt themselves or exempt their evil from being called evil. So they don't have to forsake that evil. Homosexualism, instead of forsaking it and turn from it, I don't know if that's a word or not, but I use it anyway. Homosexualism sounds good. Listen, instead of turning from that evil and that wickedness, they're trying to get it accepted as a way of life. Trying to get us to accept that as proper conduct. Amen. That's evil. That's wicked. That's against God and everything God ever stood for. Amen. That's wicked and it's ungodliness. Transgenderism is another thing that, listen, in our day it's evil and it's ungodly, but men are trying to get their evil deeds, they're trying to get them to where it's accepted and the conduct is acceptable so they won't have to repent and turn from it. Transgenderism wants to be accepted as normal behavior, and the mistake of the Almighty God, the all-knowing Creator God, He made a mistake when He created me, and I want that to be changed because God didn't know what He was doing. They might not say that word, but they're saying that indeed with the actions and things that they're doing. But they want what they do. They want that to be accepted and be, a behavior that's called normal when God says it's evil, God says it's wrong, and God says in His Word that evil men have a wide open door of opportunity. The invitation's given to seek the Lord while He may be found and forsake those evil deeds. If mankind will forsake evil deeds, the benefit of mercy and pardon is extended unto them. Now listen, it doesn't matter if they're homosexual, if they're transgender, whatever they are, lesbian, whatever, bisexual, and whatever else they want to call themselves. It doesn't matter what they are. If they repent of that evil deed and come to the Lord Jesus Christ, God will give them pardon and have mercy on their soul. Amen. Do they need the opportunity to hear the gospel? They absolutely do. Do they need to hear the opportunity to understand that there's a wide open door, that invitation's given to them, that God says in His Word that if you'll repent from your sin, if you'll turn from your evil and your wicked ways, that you can be pardoned and forgiven of your sin? Sure. They need to hear that too. Amen. God has given an open door to all mankind. If their deeds are evil, the benefits of repenting of that and turning from that is mercy and pardon, which He will give. The ultimate fulfillment of this great invitation likely is to the Jews during the tribulation. The wonderful news is that as sinners turn to their God in repentance and faith, He will have mercy upon them and will abundantly pardon them. Well, what a verse of Scripture. Verse number 8, the Bible says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways." God's ways are extremely, extremely higher than our ways. He does not think as we do. Our little pea brains can't even imagine what a great God we have. We can't even imagine the power that God has. It's extremely higher than what we could ever think. Exceeding abundantly above is what the Scripture says. Amen. There's a lot involved here in this passage of Scripture with one word, and I've told y'all before, I like word studies, and there's one word in this verse of Scripture that there's a lot involved. The Bible says here, the Lord is speaking, and verse number 8 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts." And that one word that sticks out to me is that word thoughts. What's involved in that word? The word thoughts, it goes further than just thinking. It includes not only our thoughts, but it also includes our purposes. It includes our purposes. It includes our plans. It includes our intentions. I did a little study on that, and here's what I found. That word thought means God said that His thoughts are not our thoughts. Amen? And as I did a study on that word, I find that where thoughts means that anything that passes through the mind. So God says that whatever you think of, anything that goes through your mind, that doesn't necessarily mean it's my thoughts. Your thoughts are not my thoughts. Your purposes may not be my purposes. Your plans may not be my plans. Boy, that'll help us, won't it? Amen? Listen. Your intentions may not be my intentions. And sometimes we think this is the way it's going to go and God changes the whole plan. God does it His way. It always works out for the best. Amen. We know that. We understand it. Of course, the book of Romans teaches us that. Amen. All things work together for good to them that love the Lord. Amen. And so we understand as we look at that passage of Scripture, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord." I was impressed as I was reading that and studying that little word thoughts, how deep that goes. Now, I don't have a lot of time tonight to dig into that word thoughts, but it's basically anything that passes through your mind. God's mind is far superior in holiness. It's far superior than any mind of man. Our desire should be, as the book of Philippians chapter 2, verse number 5 says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." We're to have that mind, amen? Even as the heavens are higher than the earth, so God's ways are higher than our ways. He will freely pardon those who turn to Him in repentance and faith. Listen, I don't understand some of these people that say a certain group can't be saved. I don't understand people that say that a certain denomination or certain, not denomination, but a certain nation, amen, can't be saved. Those in Zambia, Africa need to be saved. Amen. They got just as much right to be saved as I do. Those that are black in color, their skin color's black, they got just as much right as I do to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Amen. There's some that's prejudiced. They don't think that Indians and black people ought to go to church and be mixed together in church. What are you going to do, my friend, when you get to heaven? Amen. Listen, they're a soul just like we are. Amen. And there's no respect of persons according to the Scripture. The God over us, the white man, is the same God over the black man. It's the same God over the Indian. Amen. The same God over the yellow. Red, yellow, black, or white. They're all precious in His sight. There should not be any such thing as a thought that someone doesn't deserve to know the Lord. Some people have that thought. Their mentality's that way. Their ways. There's some people that won't go where there's black folks. Their ways. I never forget, I was in a meeting one time, and my wife and girls, I don't know if they remembered or not, we was in a meeting one time, and as a missions meet, camp meeting, kind of missions camp meeting thing going on, there was a black guy. I mean, that fella, he was from South Georgia, just as southern as cornbread. He got up in the service, and I mean, he was fiery, he was preaching like a wild man. And he said, I know y'all wondering why this black man's so fired up. He said, I'm an independent Baptist. And he said, I'm excited about what God's done to me. And he stepped over to the side of the platform and he said, what excites me the most is you white folks let me in. And I thought that place was going to die. I mean, he was just having himself a time. He said, you white folks let me in. And I mean, he was a dark guy too. Hey, listen, he was letting her rip, son. And we's all cheering him on, preach on. Hey, doesn't matter. Our ways are not His ways. His ways are not our ways. God said, whosoever shall come. The invitation here is given to the rich and the poor because it don't cost anything. You just come unto Him. Amen. The heavens are higher than the earth, and so God fulfills His word. Even as the heavens, verse 10 and 11, higher than the earth, even as the heavens water the earth with its rain showers, bringing life-giving moisture, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. But it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it. Even as the showers from heaven give life to the earth below, so God's word will accomplish the same in the hearts of men. Although there's times when we stand behind this pulpit and we sing and we preach and we go through the service and we feel like a flop when we leave, the Bible says, God said in His Word, my Word would not return void. That means just the same as the rain when it comes from heaven, is what the Scripture is saying. As the rains come from heaven, they don't go back up to the heavens. They come to the earth for a purpose. And that purpose is to moisten the ground so flowers can bloom and the rivers can flow. And listen, they have a purpose. And God says, my Word has a purpose. And it will not return void. It's going to go forth and it's going to accomplish what I will for it to accomplish. There may be times we sit in the service, and let me just help us all here just a little bit tonight. There may be times when we sit in the service and we feel like, listen, I've heard that before. I don't know why he's preaching that. This is so boring. But God said that His word would not return void. There's a reason God's having the man of God to preach it, and somebody needs to hear it. Amen. God's got a purpose. God's got a reason. We don't always understand that. So shall my word go forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I send it. Even as the showers from heaven give life to the earth below, so God's word will accomplish the same thing in the hearts of men. Even as the showers soften the earth and provide life-giving moisture, so God has sent His word to bring spiritual life into the hearts of men. It is the water of life that is offered freely. And just as the rains bring the greenness of the life to a parched soul, so the Word of God brings spiritual life to a thirsty soul. It accomplishes that which God has intended, and it prospers that to which God has sent it to prosper. How about that? God's Word are free. Amen. God's words are free, and God's words are life-giving. They accomplish His will on this earth. Look with me, verse number 12. We're almost done. Two more verses and we'll be done. Verse number 12, the Bible says, for ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Verse number 12, the focus returns to Israel in their land during the millennium. For ye shall go out with joy, shall be led with peace. The mountains and hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. In that day, Israel will rejoice. Amen. Israel will rejoice. What a day that's going to be. Amen. Hey, listen, we're going to rejoice when Jesus comes and calls the church home. Amen. We're going to be in heaven rejoicing while the tribulation's going on this earth. We're going to be in heaven rejoicing with the Lord. We're going to have our day. Hallelujah. And listen, Israel, though, is going to have their day. And the day that God brings all that back together for them, there's going to be peace. The Bible says they shall live in peace, and the mountains and the forests of the land will break forth and rejoice. The latter part, I believe, that the latter thought likely is a metaphor of great productivity of the land. The land will yield great produce as the showers of blessings come down from heaven above. And I believe, as the Bible says here, that the trees of the field shall clap their hands. I believe, listen now, don't think I'm crazy, but I believe that what the Bible says, I take it literally. It says that the trees will clap their hands. I believe the wind's going to blow, and it's going to look like the trees are clapping their hands. Amen. Hey, listen, it's going to be a time of rejoicing. The birds will sing, and the flowers will bloom, and the trees will, listen, they'll be a flowing and a swaying. It's going to be a wonderful time of joy for the children of Israel. The curse will be replaced with a blessing. No more curse on the earth. Amen. When Adam and Eve sinned, a curse came upon the earth. When Christ reigns, that curse will be replaced by a return of God's original plans. Darkness will be replaced by light. Evil will be replaced by righteousness. Sadness will be replaced by gladness. And all of this will take place when men obey Christ and give His rightful place in their lives, when the world honors Christ as the great sovereign God by their obedience to Him. Boy, it's a time of rejoicing. I want to say this tonight as I finish up this passage of Scripture, this chapter of Scripture tonight, this book, Isaiah chapter 55. I want to finish up with saying this. As we look at the children of Israel, what God's going to do in that millennial reign when the curse is removed and the blessings are there, we see that God is doing something in their life because men repent of their sin and they just obey God. And the blessings are poured upon them because of their obedience. Amen? If we today, in this day, in this hour, 2017, will be obedient to God and confess our sins, forsake our evil ways, and seek Him and seek His ways and His plans, God will bless His people. Amen? That's just plain and simple Bible. God will bless if we're obedient, if we adhere to the precious Word of God, if we follow the Scripture and try to be, the best that we can be is as filthy rags, but give it everything we've got. Confess our sin, keep our hearts right and pure with God, and listen, and obey the Word of God. The Bible teaches us that God will bless His people. Amen. I want the blessings of God on our life? Sure we do. I want the blessings of God on our church? Sure we do. Amen. How are we going to have that? We're going to confess sin. We're going to keep ourselves pure, keep ourselves right. Amen. We're going to keep sin out of the church the best that we can. Confess our faults one to another. Get on the altar and settle it. Amen. Between us and God. If it's between us and somebody else, we're going to go to them and get it settled. Amen. Make sure there's nothing between us and God. Keep ourselves pure. Keep the sin out of our life because we want the blessings of God on our church. Amen. Boy, I'm telling you, that's a good study. Isaiah chapter 55, that word thoughts, His thoughts are certainly not our thoughts. Our ways are not His ways. Amen. And His purposes, His plan, His intentions, and all that goes into that word thought. It's a good study. Take that word thoughts, and dig into that a little bit. Study that through the Scriptures. See how many times you can find that word and study that out. It'll be a good study for you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the privilege You've given us tonight, Lord, to be